You are listening to the CMC Podcast. Join us each week for messages designed to equip, inspire, and motivate. And now for today's message from Pastor Paul Kern.
If you're joining us on live stream, we want to welcome you also, and those that join us on podcast, I'm excited about speaking to you today. I want to talk to you about a life of excellence. A life of excellence. You know, a person who is an above and beyond individual. You know, if we went around the room and we asked everybody here today, do you want to have a blessed life? Well, yes, right? I mean, we all want to have a blessed life. You know, I've never asked anybody, hey man, do you want a blessed life? Not really. You know, subpar is good enough for me. You know, just kind of scraping, getting by. I mean, that's fine. No, nobody says that. Everybody wants to have a blessed life. Amen? You know, we want to be blessed in our friendships. Great friendships. We want to be blessed in our relationships. You know, if you're boyfriend or girlfriend here today, you know, maybe you're a little younger and that's the phase of life that you're in. You want to have the best boyfriend, girlfriend relationship that you can possibly have. Maybe some of you are engaged to be married. You want to have the best relationship that you can have. And some of you, maybe you've been married for a long period of time, you know, years and years and years, like me, you know, where your wife can't even remember how long you've been married, but you can. But we won't talk about that this morning because we're not sharing that information. But we all want to be the best mate that we can possibly be. We want to be the best employee, you know, the best boss, because by doing that, we're going to experience the life that Jesus died for all of us to have. And I don't know about you, church, but I don't want to miss out on anything that God has for me. Amen. Now, I want you know, this is not a prosperity message this morning. I'm not talking about having a lot of stuff, a lot of money, a lot of things. If you do, there's nothing wrong with that. I think that's great. God wants you to use that to bless other people. But I think we can all agree that we want a blessed life. But here's the deal. A blessed life doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. No, if you see someone and they have a great marriage, I can promise you that's an individual that's giving themselves to their relationship. You know, if you see somebody and, man, they've got a great business and or they're an employee somewhere and they're really doing well and they seem to be prospering, I can promise you that's a person who's really giving themselves to their work. If you see someone and, man, they're a picture of health, they just seem to be great, like me, I can promise you. Thank you for your enthusiasm. All three of you laughed. Tough crowd this morning. The people on the live stream, I just want you to know, they're at home sipping coffee, having breakfast, and they're laughing at my jokes. So you guys, y'all got to step it up, okay? But I mean, you know, you see somebody working hard and they're healthy. Well, that didn't just happen. They're giving themselves to being that kind of person. Here's my point. God wants to bless you. He does. But God can't bless mediocrity. God can only bless excellence. You know, I looked up the word mediocrity in the dictionary. Listen to this. Moderate quality, not very good, ordinary, commonplace, lacking inspiration. See, living a mediocre life is something that we all have to fight against every day. Now, I'm going to take you back just a minute, okay? We're going to go back to our high school years. Now, some of you are like, you're not taking me back. I'm in high school right now, so you don't have to go back. You're there. But for some of us, you know, those high school years, they're like way in the rearview mirror. So we're going to have to remind ourselves. We're going to go back to science class. And how many of you remember the law of thermodynamics, right? Science teacher talking about, some of you may be in college right now, you remember the law of thermodynamics. Well, the second law of thermodynamics is called the law of entropy. The law of entropy. And I'm going to read this definition to you. Now track with me because I'm taking you somewhere. I'm not in science class, and I know a lot of you zoned out in science. So we're not in science. It's not English. It's not history. This is not school. But I have to lay this groundwork for you. The law of entropy states that as one goes forward in time, the net entropy, or the degree of disorder of any isolated or closed system, will always increase or at least stay the same. Now, if you were like me and you were in science class, you're probably sitting there going, what? So I'm going to put it in layman's terms. Batteries run down, they don't charge up. left to themselves. Water runs downhill. It does not run uphill. See, the law of entropy is working against us. You spend a lot of time washing your car, right? You clean it, you wax it, you put the tire shine on it. Any of y'all do that? I'm still guilty. I put the tire shine on my tires, you know. Ward was in our first service, and he hand polishes his car every day of his life, you know, so he keeps everything he had. It looks brand new all the time. And, you know, you clean the inside, you clean the dash, you vacuum it. But, you know, over a few days of time, in no matter of time at all, dust begins to accumulate on your car again. You get grime on it. You track things into the floorboard after you've cleaned it out. You know, your freshly Armor-All dash now has dust beginning to accumulate on it again. Your windows that you clean so well. See, everything tends toward disorder. And the fact is, each and every one of us every day are fighting against the law of entropy in our life. The law of entropy wants to overtake us. But what we have to do as people who want to walk in an excellent life, we have to work against the law of entropy that's trying to work against us. In other words, if you want a blessed life, you're going to be very intentional. If you want to have an excellent life, you're really going to have to give yourself to being intentional of having that kind of life. Well, what does that look like? What does an excellent life look like? Well, you know, I always thought people of excellence, they go the extra mile, right? You know, they tell someone, hey, I'm going to be here at such and such time. Well, they're going to do everything that they can in their power to be there at the time that they said they were going to be there. You know, people of excellence, they take pride in their work. They take pride because they know that that represents them, and they know that it also represents Almighty God. So they do the best that they can at what they do. A student of excellence, you know, they don't call in school sick just because they have a little headache or a little minor stomach pain. No, they understand that as they get older, they're going to have a lot more of that, right? And so we learn to overcome. We learn to push through. We learn to be a person of excellence. A student of excellence, they do their best to study for an exam. They don't just study the least amount that they can just to make an average passing grade. No, a student of excellence, they study hard. They turn off Netflix. They turn off their phone. They give themselves to their studies so that they can make the best possible grade that they can make. I'm not talking about you're necessarily going to make an A+. That may not be what you're capable of doing. Maybe you're a B- student. Then be a B- student. The point is, you be the best version of you that you can be. God's looking for people with an excellent spirit. When you have an excellent spirit, you show up for everything that you do. You give yourself fully to everything that you do. Understand, God wants to bless you. We all want to be blessed. But here's the thing that I want you to understand, and I want to really, I guess, ask you today. Are you blessable? Are you doing in your life what makes you a person that God can bless? You know, I hear people make comments to me, man, they get all the lucky breaks. They just get all the lucky breaks. I don't know how they get so far ahead. You know, I hear people say, man, they just favor follows them everywhere they go. You know, y'all see people like that, you're just like, man, they're just the luckiest person alive. It's just amazing to me, all the lucky breaks. But what many people fail to realize is that a lucky break is a result of a person stacking one right decision upon another, upon another, upon another, consistently over a long period of time. It's being faithful in the little things, the seemingly insignificant things, that God can move you into a place of blessing. We have a missionary here in our church. His name is Alvin Anderson. Alvin is a missionary in Honduras, and he works with the children there. We have orphanages there. It's really awesome. If you've never had an opportunity to go, I really encourage you to go and get involved with Alvin and what they're doing there. But I've been there a couple of times, and you know, I've been to the feeding centers. I've been to the schools that they have where they educate children. You know, a lot of those kids, you know, they only get one tortilla a day. That's their meal for the whole day. I would go there and watch little children walking around in the streets, and they would have little baby Gerber jars, and inside the jars it'd be full of glue. And they just walked around huffing this glue in their mouth, breathing it in all day long, because that kept them from experiencing hunger pains if they could stay high all the time. Well, all these children, they know Alvin. They, you know, he comes. I remember going into back streets with him at night, and all these little kids come running out of the dark. Poppy, Poppy, Poppy. He's very well known there in Honduras, especially there in the capital where they work. And a lot of the government people know Alvin because God's used him in the prison systems with the gangs and these young people coming to know Christ. God's used him in powerful ways. Well, Alvin was praying and really asking God to help him. He needed a breakthrough. He needed to meet with the prime minister of Honduras. And he'd been praying and praying and praying, and he would go there and into the office building where they're at, this huge place there, and he would just try to get an appointment with him. He said, Paul, sometimes I would sit for a couple of hours at a time just hoping to be able to get a meeting, and I just never could get in. Well, one day he was sitting there, and he was waiting to be able to get in, and you know, as it is, you sit somewhere long enough, you got to go to the restroom. And so Alvin got up, and he walked down the hallway, and he went into the restroom, and when he walked into the restroom, he noticed something that a lot of people often see. Towels were overflowing out of the trash can, you know, where people had washed their hands. They were all in the floor. Well, Alvin just began to kneel down and pick up the paper towels and begin to put them back in the trash can because that was just who Alvin was. Well, as Alvin was there and he was picking up these paper towels, this man happened to walk in. And he asked Alvin, he says, what are you doing? He said, well, I walked in and I was saw these paper towels and I was picking them up and putting them back in the trash can. And he asked him, he said, well, do you work here? Are you a government worker? Are you a janitor? And he said, no, I don't work here. And he says, well, who are you? He said, well, my name is Alvin Anderson. I'm a missionary. I run this missionary here in Honduras, and I'm really wanting to get in and see the prime minister. Well, lo and behold, the man that he was talking to just happened to be him. He said, I'm him. He said, I want to introduce myself. And he said, and I want to have a meeting with you. He said, I want to meet with anybody that has that kind of attitude in life. And that little seemingly insignificant thing, just being faithful in the little, just being a person of excellence, going above and beyond, that's what opened the door for Alvin to have the breakthrough that God wanted to give him. Isn't that a great story? But it's so true for all of us. Alvin got the lucky break he had been praying for because he was living the life that Christ wanted him to live. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. See, many people live a mediocre life, yet they expect excellent results. They look at other people and they see them living blessed. They see them getting the good lucky break, so to speak. And then they wonder to themselves, you know, God, why don't I ever get the lucky breaks? Why don't I get the promotions? Why don't I get the raises? Why don't I walk in favor? Well, it's because God can't bless mediocrity. He can only bless excellence. See, many people, they live this way. They show up to work uninspired. They don't give themselves to their relationships. They have no real excitement or vision for their future. They're not striving to be the best version of themselves that they can possibly be. No, they're just on autopilot. They're just doing the bare minimum every day just to get by, just to get through another day. And then they wonder, why am I not living blessed? I hear people say, well, Paul, you know, everybody's doing it. Everybody shows up late to class. Everybody shows up late to work. Everybody cheats a little bit on test. Paul, everybody tells little white lies. I mean, I hear this often, and that may be true, but people of excellence, they're not like everybody else. See, they recognize that God has placed a high and holy calling on their life, and their goal is to please God and give him their very best in whatever they do. Can I have an amen? Amen. See, the breakthrough that you are praying for, the breakthrough that you're hoping for, it may depend upon the kind of boss you are. It may depend upon the kind of employee you are. It may depend upon the kind of student that you are. It may depend upon the kind of father or mother, husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend. You know, for some of you who are young right now and you're in relationships, okay, you've got a boyfriend or a girlfriend, you know, there's a good possibility that the person that you're with right now at 13, 14, 15, 16 might not be the person that you end up spending the rest of your life with. There's a good possibility that they could be, but most likely that's probably not true. But I want to encourage you in this. You ought to make it your goal for them to say of you that you were the best boyfriend that they ever had, that you were the best girlfriend that they ever had. In other words, you set the bar for them when they get into another relationship that, well, oh, wait a minute, you're not where he was, you're not where she was, there's no way I'm going out with you because I know there's better for me. Amen? That's the way we ought to live our life. Listen, we live in a world of compromise. We live in it every day. People compromise their integrity all the time. But people of excellence, they don't live like that. You know, I really believe that the kind of boss you are, the kind of husband that you are, the kind of wife you are, the kind of son or daughter that you are, I think that's a direct reflection of your relationship with God. I think that's a direct reflection of your connection that you have with the Heavenly Father. See, I want to encourage our church. Don't let that mentality of compromise rub off on you. Don't let the mentality of, well, it's enough, it's good enough. You know, Paul, everybody's doing it. No, don't let that be who you are. You be a person who strives to be the best person that you can be every day. You know, I remember when I first started coming to Christian Ministries, and I was in my early 20s. I came through our program here, and you know, I started looking at some different people in our church that I knew, people that were established here and had been here for a long time. And I especially remember looking at our lead pastor. And I watched how he interacted with his wife. He had a great marriage. They got along really, really good. They seemed to love each other. I saw his children, his daughters, what respectful young people they were, and everybody seemed to get along good and great. I looked at things that Tim was involved in, things that he put his hand to. Man, he was blessed. I remember watching Tim reach into his pocket, and he'd always pull out money. All the time, he had money, and I was thinking, I reach into my pocket, and all I pull out is a Lifesaver and lint. That's all I've got. And it was true. And you know, I think the temptation for a lot of us is to look at people that we see in life that are really, really doing well. They seem to be blessed, and we become jealous of them. We begin to say, well, you know, Paul, they've got advantages that I didn't have. You know, they grew up in a nurturing home. My parents divorced. You know, they had a mother and a father. I was adopted. You know, they had situations that I didn't, you know, that I didn't get given in life. They had opportunities that weren't provided for me. No, listen, that's a trap. That's the enemy trying to trap you in and make you a victim instead of a victor. And I want to encourage our church, don't ever allow jealousy in your life to make you a victim. No, what I did was I began to look at Tim and I began to see the things that he had, and I said to myself, I want to have that. I want to have that. And I began to read in the Word where it said, God's called me that I am an overcomer. God has said that I'm a conqueror. God has said of me that I'm the head and not the tail. There wasn't some special favor that God had on a pastor or a minister that he didn't have for me. No, God loves all people the same. God wants to bless everybody. And I just began to believe that in my heart, and I said to myself, you know, I'm going to watch what he does. I'm going to see how he does it, and I'm going to begin to learn. And I'm going to have the blessed life that Jesus said he came to give me. John 10:10. We're all familiar with that scripture. The thief comes to what? Kill, steal, and to destroy. We all know that part. But the second part of that scripture is even more so important. But Jesus said, but I have come that you might have what? Life. And that that life would be more abundant. Now, I'm not just talking about material things, although obviously God knows that we need to have material things. There are bills that we need to pay. There's vacations that we want to go on. There's people that we want to bless. So obviously we have to have material things. So I just begin to watch, and I begin to ask him, how do you always have money in your pocket? He told me the most profound thing that I'd ever heard at 23 years of age. He says, I don't spend it. I was like, I can do that. And now over a period of years, I've learned, if you want to have money, don't spend it. Now I have money. It's fine. You just keep it in your pocket. You can look at it, go, wow, I've got a $100 bill. And next week, you can look in there and you go, wow, I've got a $100 bill. And the next week, you look at it, wow, I've got a $100 bill. Why? Just didn't spend it. It was a profound concept of finances that I was missing. I didn't realize. It was really, really funny. My wife and I, when we first met, she worked at our radio station here that was in our ministry and literally made a very small amount of money. A very small amount of money. I worked and did air conditioning and refrigeration. I was doing very, very well. As a matter of fact, just in my mileage alone, I made more than my wife made in 2 or 3 weeks' time. Guess who had the savings account and guess who didn't? My wife had a savings account and I didn't. But I think it's easy for us to say, well, you know, well, the reason, and here's why, and Paul. No, 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 no. No, take control of your life. Don't allow the enemy to make excuses in your heart and mind why you're not walking in the blessings of the Lord. You know, this morning I want you to take a minute, reflect upon your life. What are you doing with what you've been given? What vision do you have for a year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now? It doesn't matter if you're retired. It doesn't matter if you're in seventh or eighth grade or maybe in college. We all have to have vision for who we want to be and where we want to go. Are you actively working with and partnering with God to walk in the blessings that God has for you? Or are you allowing the enemy to make excuses in your mind about the life that you have? You know, there's a scripture. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. I want to look at this together this morning. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. Now, this will be very familiar to you. This will be a scripture that you've heard before. Now, if you're listening by podcast, you're going down the road, don't turn to Matthew 25. Just listen to what I'm saying. That would not be a good idea. Matthew 25, verse 14. It says, again, heaven's kingdom realm is like the wealthy man who went on a long journey and summoned his trusted servants and assigned his financial management over to them. Before he left on his journey, he entrusted a bag of 5,000 gold coins to one of his servants, to another a bag of 2,000 gold coins, and to the third a bag of 1,000 gold coins, each according to his ability to manage. The one he entrusted with 5,000 gold coins immediately went out and traded the money and doubled his own investment. In the same way, the one who was entrusted with 2,000 gold coins traded with the sum and likewise doubled his investment. But the one who had been entrusted with 1,000 gold coins dug a hole in the ground and buried his master's money. Well, after much time had passed, the master returned to settle accounts with his servants, and the one who he had entrusted with 5,000 gold coins came and brought 10,000, saying, see, I've doubled your money. Commending his servant, the master replied, you've done well in proving yourself to be my loyal, trustworthy servant. Because you've been faithful steward to manage a small sum, I will now put you over much, much more. You will experience the delight of your master, who will say to you, come, celebrate with me. Then the one who had been entrusted with 2,000 gold coins came in and said, see, master, I've doubled what you entrusted to me. Commending his servant, the master replied, you've done well. You've proven yourself to be my loyal, trustworthy servant. And because you were faithful to manage a small sum, now I'll put you in charge of much, much more. You will experience the delight of your master, who will say to you, come and celebrate with me. And then the one who had been entrusted with 1,000 gold coins came to his master and he said, look, sir, I know that you are a hard man to please. You're shrewd. You're a ruthless businessman who grows rich on the backs of others. I was afraid of you, so I went and hid your money and I buried it in the ground. But here it is. Take it. It's yours. Angered by what he heard, the master said to him, you are an untrustworthy and lazy servant. If you knew that I was shrewd and ruthless in business and always makes a profit, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? Then you would have received it back with interest when I returned. But because you were unfaithful, I will take the 1,000 gold coins and give it to the one who has 10,000. For the one who has, listen, for the one who has will be given more until he overflows with abundance. And the one with hardly anything, even what little he has, will be taken from him. It's a very interesting parable, but I want you to notice the individual that was given the 1,000 worth of gold coins. He didn't go out and blow the money. He didn't spend it on Starbucks. He didn't go out to a movie. He didn't mess around and spend it on a new pair of shoes or a new gadget. No, he buried the money. He buried the money because he knew it wasn't his to go and spend in the first place. But here's what he did do. He made excuses for why he wasn't able to improve his lot in life. As a matter of fact, he even blamed the master who gave him the money and told him he was the reason why he wasn't able to do better than what he was doing. It's amazing. The scripture shows us that if we're faithful in a small amount, we'll be faithful in a larger amount. But if we're not faithful with the little that we have, we certainly won't be capable of being faithful with more. See, listen, church, the only person that has the power to rob you of your blessing is you. You. It's our attitude that keeps us from walking into the blessings, or it's that right attitude that moves us into the blessings. See, people of excellence, they go the extra mile. They don't make excuses. They do what is right, even when it's hard. Not because somebody's watching. Not because they want a pat on the back. But it's because they know God's way works best. All of us in here, we want to prosper. We all want to live blessed. We all want God to pour out His abundance on our life. No doubt about it. We all want those so-called lucky breaks. Amen? But once again, we have to understand that those lucky breaks are just one right decision stacked on another right decision, stacked on another right decision over a long period of time, done consistently. Living a life of excellence is the way that God blesses us. I want to encourage you today, listen to your conscience. Listen to the still small voice in your head. You know, once again, if you're a young person here today, you are making a decision about the kind of person that you're going to be 5 years from now. If you're an adult here in the room today, you're making a decision now about the kind of person that you're going to be 5 years from now. You know, we all hit those inevitable crossroads in life where we have to make a choice, where we have to make a decision. But the very interesting thing is we don't make the decision when we hit the crossroads. No, that decision's already been made. It was made a year or two earlier about the kind of person that we were going to be when we hit that inevitable crossroads. It's so important for us, even in the little things, even in the small things, even in the little things that don't seem like that big of a deal, those are the things that we have to make sure that we pay attention to, because those little things, just like it says in the parable, those are the things that prepare us and set us up for the bigger things. Can I have an amen? Amen. It would be easy for everybody to justify a little white lie in a certain situation. Well, Paul, you know, COVID's going on, work's tough, it's hard. You know, everybody's got to fudge the numbers just a little bit to get ahead. It would be easy to get by with a little bit of flirting with a coworker, with a friend's wife or a friend's husband. You know, it's not really hurting anybody. I'm not planning on having an affair. That's not what I'm going to do. You know, it'd be easy for you to flirt with somebody else's boyfriend, somebody else's girlfriend. But no, listen, remember, God's watching us. God's counting on us. God has deposited His Holy Spirit in us. He has a high and holy calling on us, and we represent Almighty God in everything that we do. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 9, it says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. But whoever sows to the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life." See, that scripture is neutral. You know, a lot of people read that and they think that's a negative scripture, but really it's neutral because it says God will not be mocked. God has a system set in place. if we do what's right, we set ourselves up for the blessings of God. But if we do what pleases our flesh, we set ourselves up for destruction. The Bible makes it very clear that as we sow good seeds into the soil of our life, as we do that continually over and over, over a period of time, guess what? A harvest will come. As a matter of fact, the last verse of that scripture, verse 9, says this, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up." You know, I've often heard it said, "Well, when's my due season? When's my harvest?" The day after you quit. See, many people, they work, they give, they do. "Man, Paul, I've been doing right. I've been tithing. I've been giving. I've been blessing other people. I haven't gotten anything in return." Well, a farmer recognizes that he's going to go, he's going to sow seed, and in the morning he's not going to wake up and have a bumper crop. No, it's going to take time. It's going to take seasons. You know, maybe you're here today and you see your friends getting married, you see them moving on in life, and yet here you are, you're still single. And you wonder to yourself, "God, is it ever going to happen for me?" But here's what you've got to know. If you remain faithful, if you do what God's called you to do, if you, in your singleness, make this a season and a time that you can sow and bless and give and serve, God's watching. God sees that. And I can promise you this, in due season, that right person will come along. You may be working for somebody, and you know, maybe you would like to have a business of your own one day. Well, listen, it's very important that you're faithful with somebody else's company truck, that you're faithful with somebody else's office supplies, that you're faithful with their business, and then you position yourself, come on, for God to bless you. So important that we have this perspective in our life. See, people of excellence, they recognize that it takes a season of time to produce the life that they have. You know, I want to go back to the example that I gave about Tim, and I begin our lead pastor, I would see the blessings of God on his life, but I begin to realize, you know, Tim didn't get where he was overnight. Tim and Terry, they didn't get to where they were overnight, and neither was I. I had to do the exact same thing. Every day, get up, go to work, do what's right. Every day, stay married, treat my wife good, do what's right. Every day, raise my children, be a father that's involved, do what I need to do, and over time, those seeds will grow. Over time, fruit will begin to be produced. Over time, the blessing of harvest will be available to me. The problem is a lot of people become weary in well-doing. They become weary. They grow tired. They want to give up, and they want to quit because they don't see the results happening exactly when they want them to happen. And so they just say, "Well, you know what? It's not working for me." You know, I really believe that it's not the major calamities in life, it's not the tragedies that happen to us that really derail us. Although those are obviously very hard. I've experienced some of those myself. They're very difficult to get through. They can be easy to become reasons for you not to be the best version of yourself that you can be. But you know, honestly, church, the thing that I've seen that's deterred people the most from walking into a life of excellence and the blessed life that God has for them, it's just the day in, day out mundaneness of everyday life. That's the thing that seems to rob people of their vision the most. But here's the key. It's during that time of planting and harvesting that key things have to happen for you to have your blessing. You have to watch over what you plant. You've got to water it. You've got to protect it. You've got to weed it. You've got to fertilize it with joy and thanksgiving. You've got to be faithful to keep that area in your life cultivated. The ground becomes hard and crusty around plants as they're growing up. You've got to come in and dig up that soil. You've got to water it. You've got to fertilize it. You've got to take care of it. See, all of that time between the time that you plant and the time that you harvest is very, very significant. But isn't it so true that so often it's during that period of time that we lose vision? Man, we get a weed here and a weed there. it kind of gets out of control and we just abandon what it is that God is trying to grow. Now, I want to encourage our church today. You be a person that's very intentional. Maybe there's some areas in your life that you were once doing good at. Maybe you were really working at your health. Maybe you were really giving yourself to a relationship. Maybe at one time, your job, you had a real vision for working your way up. And now, over time, you just allow that to kind of fall by the wayside. Apathy set in. You've lost your vision for where you want to go. Maybe you've had some setbacks. Maybe some difficult things in your life have happened that have distracted you or caused you to even become discouraged and want to give up. Listen, God's watching. God sees you. God's always working in the background on your behalf. You know, as a matter of fact, maybe you're in a time where you're in a test. Oftentimes, God's just trying to see how well you will do. You know, it's easy to praise God when we have money. It's easy to praise God when things are going our way. But oftentimes, when we hit those hard spots in the road, when we hit those dips, when we hit those inevitable potholes, that's when it gets hard to really live for the Lord. But people of excellence understand that's all a part of life. Ups, downs, ins, outs, good times, bad times. But in that, we remain faithful to what God has called us to do. If you're here today and you're doing your very best, you're striving to be the best person that you can be, I want to encourage you. You're influencing people. You may not know it, but you are. You know, there's one thing that I've really noticed about people who just do the right thing consistently. They're not tooting their own horn. They're not saying, pat me on the back. They're not saying, hey, look at me. I'm being a great dad consistently. Hey, look at me. I'm being a great mom consistently. Hey, look at me. I've just been this faithful employee consistently. They're not looking for a pat on the back. People who are faithful to church, they come when the doors are open. They're here. They're greeting people. They're praying with people. They're encouraging people. They're not saying, hey, pat me on the back. I'm such a great Christian. No, they just do that. They just do that. That's because of who they are. And you know what happens? Oftentimes, we tend to take those people for granted. But the fact of the matter is, our society is built upon the faithfulness and excellence of people like that. We all come to depend on the fact that our boss is going to be steadfast and trustworthy, and we're going to have a check on Friday. We all count on the fact that our mate is going to stay faithful and true, and our marriages will stay strong. We all depend upon the fact that our boyfriend or our girlfriend is going to do the right thing. We all depend upon the fact that our friends are going to make the right choices and the right decisions. And oftentimes we tend to take people for granted. You don't get the pat on the back that you should. But let me tell you something. Here's your pat on the back. The influence and the results that you're having every single day. You have to know that your life is making a difference. It is impacting people in profound ways, ways that you don't even realize. And maybe you don't get a word of encouragement. Maybe somebody doesn't walk up to you to appreciate you. But here's what you got to know. Just like that master was with those servants, when the time of the harvest comes, you're going to hear him say, well done, faithful servant. Enter in into the joy that I have prepared for you. Church, as I close today, I want to encourage you. You make it your goal to be a person of excellence. Don't let excuses come in and stop you from being the best person that you can be. No, you be determined that you're going to be the best version of yourself this week that you can possibly be. And as a result of that, God is going to bless you and God's going to bless those around you. Amen? Amen. Y'all stand with me this morning. Let's give God a hand clap. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. God, we're grateful to you. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Come on, let's just thank God today. God, we're grateful for our jobs. We're grateful for our lives. We're grateful for your provision. God, forgive us. Forgive us where we've murmured, we've complained. God, forgive us where we haven't done the best with what you have blessed us with, whether it's 5, 2, or 1. Depending on where we are in life, God, we don't compare ourselves to other people and what they have. We do the best with what you have given us. God, help us to be faithful people with what you have given us. Lord, today, help us be faithful friends. Help us be faithful, committed members of the church or the body of Christ. Lord, help us to be the best version that we can be. And we know, Lord, by doing that, we're here. You say, well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, go before us this week. We love you. We praise you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen.
You have been listening to the CMC Podcast. For more information about CMC, our different conferences, Christian school, college internship, resources, and more, go to cmchurch.com.